If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You get out of an ice hockey game on a Friday night at 12:30 in the morning. Yep. There's only so many choices, and Taco Bell was always there for me in a time of need.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We obviously just the end of last hour wrapped up talking briefly about Taco Bell in relation to Nikola Jokic and what NBA players most connote Taco Bell. And then during the break, Beard says, I got such a perfect liner for Verteram, and also it's a Verteram liner. And I went, is it him saying that Taco Bell's always been there for him? And Beard went, damn it! There are no secrets here anymore, Beards. We just ride the same wavelength. We know how this goes. You hear Taco Bell, Matt Verteram time? Yeah, there's a liner for that. Matt Verteram joins us now. You can read all of his work at fansided.com. You can read the Stack in the Box column. You can listen to the Stack in the Box podcast. You can do all the things at fansided. Just go to his Twitter if you want, at Matt Verteram, or go to fansided.com. You'll eventually run into something by Verteram. Matt, thank you for being here on a later than usual, sort of random Tuesday. It's good to hear your voice.
No problem. You know, I was thinking when that liner was playing, you know, if you guys were worth a damn, you'd get Taco Bell as sponsor the segment.
Yeah, Matt, that's in my control.
It's a great idea.
Listen, I see you guys. I'm throwing the whole station in it. Come on. Okay. somebody near corporate. I mean, you know, I know the checks are clearing, but come on. Get on the phone, call up Taco Bell, get hold of Gary, the manager, and say, hey, listen, we got a spot with a liner, and you guys can do, you know, whatever the heck you got this week. The Chalupa, there's a limited edition, whatever crap you're peddling. Look, sponsor the spot, and hey, everybody wins.
We would talk so much bleep about in a good way, about the Naked Chicken Chalupa. We would just be in here on the video feeds, just rubbing it on our faces. We will eat Naked Chicken Chalupas. I'll get naked and eat a Naked Chicken Chalupa during this segment, if that's what it takes. We're talking about
not selling anything.
Well, fair enough. you know what? Don't yuck somebody's yum, Matt. What? Taco Bell's always been there for you. Maybe I'm here for somebody else. Go ahead, Rudy.
All right. Fair enough.
I was trying to think of, like, when they had the, like, was it the fourth meal or, like, the
after
hours?
Meal.
It's just like, it's the fourth meal with Matt Verteram.
We could.
Late night.
We could sign off with, instead of Liv Moss, it's Liv Matt. Liv Mott, maybe? I don't know. We'll leave that one on the cutting room floor. You know what? They're right to not sponsor this segment. I blew it.
Yo quiero Matt Verteram.
It's, at that point, it becomes like Seth Kaiser says, which is Verterame.
Verterame, good.
It does sound much more
Hispanic. That's the actual way to pronounce my last name, but I've never gone by it. So he's actually technically correct.
Wow. Oh. Huge breaking. Beard, can I get the breaking news sound effect, please? That's earth-shattering.
It is.
So
yeah, no, it's actually the Italian way, you know, from the old country. That is actually Matthew Verterame. But I've never gone by it because it would be even harder than, I think, Verteram. but he technically, by the letter of the old Italian law, is right.
So does the rest of your family go by Verterame? Or is this just you? Or is this no one in your family goes by it?
Always gone by Verteram. Just easier. I mean, I can't speak for when everybody came over from Italy in, like, the late 1800s. I have no idea if they went by Verterame then, but... No, ever since I've been on this earth, it's been Verteram, but I gotta tell you, I've been called a lot of things, a lot of which I can't repeat on the radio. And as far as my last name goes, I mean, my personal favorite is Verteram. When people call, like somebody calls you about, you know, hey, do you want this kind of insurance? They're like, Mr., and then there's like a 2 second pause, and it's like, Verteram? And I always ask those people, like, where the hell did you get Van from? Like, I get it. It's a hard name. I'm not taking off points if you butcher it or whatever, you know, Verteram. Okay, I get that one. Well, how do you Verteram? But believe me, happens a lot more than you think.
I'm currently reading an entire thing from a website about the origins of the etymological origin of the name Verderame. And I'm honestly just trying to figure out if there's a literal interpretation. I've just read a lot about Sicily, though, just now. So that's shown up several times.
Well, I'm not even, my family's all from the northern part of Italy. I could tell you that the name, I think in Italian, it translates to the green branch because verde is green.
So that's what I was trying to figure out is what is rame? And that's not bad.
A branch, maybe? I think it was my grandma. Now, by the way, everyone's turned off the radio. Every single
I disagree.
Person turned off the radio.
It's 10:06 p.m. Anybody who wanted to hear something on the radio is happy to hear us. I don't know if you know what else is going on in Kansas City sports at the moment. We're the best thing going for sure.
Well, I know the Royals are playing the Angels. I have no idea what the score is, but
not good.
It's not good.
And it's a shame. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. The last name. But we can wrap up on this. My mother's maiden name, Matry. It was originally Matrishani, and they shortened it legally a couple years before she was born. Cathrill, the brothers, and they shortened it because they all went to Catholic school. And you know how like on the top of a paper when you're in school, you know, there's like the name and then there's the line. So, you know, my uncle would write like Stephen Matrishani, but he could never fit it on the line. It would always go over the line. Well, the nuns crack in the hands with rulers. Right? So my grandparents decided, well, the poor kid's coming home with bruised hands every day because he keeps going over the friggin' line. So they shortened it to Matry. That's the honest to God reason. And so,
wow.
There's a lot of history in the last names of this family.
Wow. That is fabulous. Also, I've gone to Google Translate, which means I've definitely got the truth here. And whenever I just write R-A-M-E, it gives me copper, and if I go Verda space Rame, it says copper green. So I don't know. I mean, you're thinking like you know, whatever.
I mean, my grandmother could have been an absolute stone cold liar. I can't. I never went to Google Translate to figure. I was told. I know Verda is green. That I know for a fact. But I don't. She could have been a liar. She could have just been absolutely making things up and seeing if I was stupid enough to believe her.
Oh.
A million different things.
Okay.
No, I was like eight.
I've gone the other way. I'm here to redeem your grandmother. If you type branch to in English to Italian, it spits out Ramo, R-A-M-O. The vowel changing at the end could just be, you know, a conjugation chart gone wild. You know, that might just be, you know, you branch instead of I branch. I don't know much about Italian. I did take couple years of Latin, though, and I still not totally sure why. So there we go. All right, Green Branch. Matt Green Branch. That I feel,
right.
Huh. Yeah, we'll see. We'll try that one on for size. If you ever decide you want to, you know, change the brand a little bit, Matt Green Branch is right there for the taking. And much like that was a branch offered to your future, we can also now make an equally ridiculous reach to just go to anything football-related for the segue, because I've used all my energy this segment to translate your last name. A handful of things, though, that have been pretty interesting from the last couple of days, and also something Chiefs-specific that you tweeted that I want to get to. We have to talk about Julio first. He ends up landing in Tennessee, so I'm interested what you think about that fit in particular, and then we'll get to any of the sort of Chiefs ramifications in a second.
So, I think it's fine. Like, he's a really good player. Like, the one misnomer out there that I see so many people, oh, yeah, he's always hurt. He's not always hurt. He played nine games last year. He had almost 800 yards. But most of his career, except I think for one of the seasons, he's played at least 14 games every year, and most years he's played 15 or 16. So, look, I think for the Titans, it makes sense. You get a player who is going to draw number one attention and can beat that number one attention. You now have A.J. Brown, who's a very solid number one. Now is a phenomenal number two. And Derrick Henry's, you know, it's going to be harder to stack the box against him. Mm-hmm. So I think it helps you. Now, the question I have with Tennessee is still twofold, though. One is, and this is, of course, well before the Julio Jones deal and remains so, can they stop a nosebleed? Mm-hmm. Can they stop anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Because last year they were 30th in sacks. They were 31st in pressure rate. They were 32 on third downs. I mean, they were awful. And they did pick up Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, who I really like, both of them, but they also lost a whole bunch of guys. So, are they any better? The second part of this is, I like Ryan Tannehill. Like, Ryan, people like to dump on Ryan Tannehill. I actually think he's a top 10 quarterback. But when he's been asked, especially in bigger games and playoff games, even during his time with Tennessee, when he has been asked to make plays when the defense is gearing up to stop the pass. He struggles. We saw it in the AFC Championship game a few years ago. When the Chiefs stopped Derrick Henry, that was it. It was over. You know, Baltimore did it last year in the wild card game. Like, they shut down Derrick Henry and basically said to Ryan Tannehill, hey, beat me. Couldn't do it. Mm. Like, that's the question I have. Julio helps that, no doubt. But that's still a looming question until it's answered. I'm curious. They play week 6, they play Buffalo. Week 7, they play Kansas City. Week 8, they play Indy. Week 9, they play the Rams.
Hmm.
I wrote about that and then felt really good that I wrote about it because I checked out Peter King's column an hour later and he wrote about the exact same stretch. Yeah. So that's the month of the season. I'm going to learn a lot about Tennessee.
What did you? This is something that, Curtis Siebold brought up yesterday when I was filling in on the program. Arthur Smith leaves Tennessee for Atlanta, and then funnily enough, Julio goes from Atlanta to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Do you have any fear of there being, not that Atlanta also, for this next example, not that their offense fell off a cliff, but like whenever Kyle Shanahan left Atlanta for a head coaching job, like that offense seems like it got worse. Do you fear that that's in the cards for Tannehill or for the Titans offense as a whole, or do you think they're going to not have to skip a beat there?
No, I mean, look, I think it matters. Anytime you lose a coordinator, it matters, and it especially matters when the head coach is not as strong on the side of the ball that you're losing the coordinator.
Mm.
Like, as much as I respect Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm. and he's done a phenomenal job, and he's far more involved in that offense than people give him credit for. If he left, it would be a big loss for Kansas City, but they have Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that offense in the end is Andy Reid's baby. If they lose Steve Spagnuolo, I think it's a much bigger deal for the Chiefs in the sense that he is the defensive mind on that team.
Yeah.
He is where the buck stops.
Yeah.
In Tennessee, Vrabel is a defensive guy. Obviously, a very good linebacker for years in New England and even a cup of coffee in Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Like, he is a defensive guy. And so Arthur Smith was the head coach of that offense.
Hmm.
Now you lose him. You bring in Todd Downing. Todd Downing might end up being a Hall of Famer. He might end up being out of there in a year. You don't know. So anytime there's a change like that where the head coach is not really having a whole lot of oversight, yeah, I think you have to factor that in. It may not be a bad thing, but it is a factor, and it's something you have to be aware of.
Localizing it to the coaches that aren't on Andy Reid's side of the table there, I think is really a really good call because if you say, hey, who's a better coach or who would be a better head coach, Eric Bieniemy or Steve Spagnuolo, I would probably be pretty hard pressed to have a definitive answer either way, and I might even lean Bieniemy in terms of at least getting his
right.
shot at head
right.
coach. But if you said, who would I rather see leave the Chiefs? It would be Bieniemy in a landslide just simply to that point of it's Andy Reid's offense and it's Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Like that would
right.
be, that'd be a much harder hole to dig back out of.
Yeah, I mean, you just with Andy there, you know, look, even if Eric Bieniemy were to take a head coaching job like he should have been offered over the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
like even if that were to happen, worst case scenario, Andy Reid just takes the offense over.
Yeah.
And they're fine.
Yep.
I mean, look who have been the coordinators under Reid in Kansas City.
Yep.
Okay, Doug Peterson got a head coaching job, won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Matt Nagy goes to Chicago. Look, people consider they want. I'm based in Chicago. People kill Matt Nagy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a head coach here for 3 years. They made the playoffs twice with Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, Matt Nagy got fired. He'd have a job tomorrow in the NFL. And then Bieniemy, who I would argue has the most successful tenure of anybody as a coordinator. Of course, he's also had Mahomes. But he will have the head coaching job here sooner rather than later. It would be criminal if he doesn't. So that side of the ball, it's more of a strength throughout the organization. Whereas defensively with Kansas City, I mean, like I said, not to repeat myself, but the buck really starts and stops at Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
If he leaves, that whole defense goes into flux, whereas offensively the beat goes on as long as Andy Reid's there.
Yeah. I think that's really a really good call. With Julio, obviously, I think a good number of reports at this point have been the Chiefs were not really in on Julio Jones, and something that we've talked about a little bit here the last couple of days, but not a ton. You can look at cap restrictions, and then also like Peter Schrager was the first guy that tweeted out that I thought was interesting, specifically noting cash, just cash flow, and how that also eventually comes into play. That's not something we've talked about at all around the Chiefs, and it's something that we've made, you know, whenever it comes up, it's Mark Davis, and we roast him for it. But, you know, I think that that's probably a bigger conversation behind the scenes around the league. So how much do you think that each of those two things, you know, if we say the Chiefs would like to have Julio in a vacuum, you look at the cap and the cash flow and then also the need and the draft picks. What do you think all came into play there?
So I reported a couple of weeks ago when this stuff really started with Julio Jones. I had a source close to the Chiefs tell me, look, it's a question of finance. They were not going to pursue Julio Jones. And that bared out to be true. They never came off that stance. I'll be honest with you. I was a little weary of really coming out strong with that because the Chiefs are so aggressive.
Yeah.
That I felt like if in the 2 weeks, like if they had extended Tyrann Mathieu and opened up 12 million in cap space, I could have pictured the Chiefs just being like, hey, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
Let's take a shot. But now that was something that, you know, the day it became, I think this is actually the day where he went on FS1 unwittingly. I reached out and was told that. But, you know, I can't speak to Peter's report. And obviously, you know, Schrager does an excellent job about talking about whether or not they have cash. You know, for people who don't know, and maybe there are some people out there who don't know, in the NFL, since the 80s, when you sign a player to a contract, whatever the guaranteed money is on that contract, it has to go into escrow immediately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you sign a guy to a $100 million contract, $60 million guaranteed, your owner has to have the liquid money to put $60 million in escrow. Now, with due respect to Peter Schrager, and I'm sure his sources are ironclad on this, I have not heard that. I haven't heard denial of it either, but I haven't heard that that's the case. Mm-hmm. B, I kind of have a hard time a little bit thinking if that was the only holdup, that really would have stopped them. Because they were going to give Trent Williams an ungodly amount of money.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Then they turned around and gave Joe Tooney an ungodly amount of money. They know that they're going to have to give Orlando Brown a ton of money at some point unless he really plays poorly. And Tyrann Mathieu, I think we all expect an extension to happen there. I can tell you firsthand, they love him in that building every bit for as much as he brings off the field, as much as he also brings on it. So all those, I mean, those are big deals. And I don't think the Hunt family, I don't want to speak for Clark Hunt's finances, I'm not his accountant, but I don't think he's running out of money any day soon with the way that franchise has been printing it, even with the setbacks of COVID. Now, do I know that for a fact? Like I said, that part, no. But I can tell you for a fact that speaking to people around the team a couple weeks ago and even more recently, they were never involved, not because they don't think Julio Jones is a great player. They just simply don't have the cap space. You also have to factor in real quickly with Mathieu and Brown. If they extend Tyrann Mathieu's cap, it's going to go down significantly this year. It's going to be big next year.
Yeah.
And if they have to tag Orlando Brown, that's about $20 million.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. At some point, people have to say the cap's fake and you can massage cap. At some point, though, like there is a salary cap and you have to figure out who's going to be on the team.
You mentioned the Mathieu extension, and I do think that at least all of us here expect that extension to end up happening at some point this offseason. But it's taken longer than I would have guessed in the first place. What do you think the percentage chance? I love the percentage chance game. What do you think the percentage chance is that he's signed to an extension, but simply before week one?
80 to 90. And I think I'm being conservative.
Yeah,
they love Tyrann Mathieu, and I'm not. That's not a guess. They love Tyrann Mathieu, not only for what he does on the field, which, of course, he'd be a first-team All-Pro both years he's been in Kansas City. He is the heartbeat of that team. Every bit as much as Patrick Mahomes is, as much as Travis Kelce is, he's as much of a leader as anybody. And, you know, he really rallies the troops in a way. Now, I remember, I'll give an example, actually, of what I'm talking about. So people may not remember, but last year, playing every game, but there was a game they played the Dolphins. They went to Miami, and he was questionable for the game. I think he hurt his hip during the week. And I reached out and asked a source, is Mathieu likely to play this week? And the person got back to me and said, if everybody on the team was like Tyrann Mathieu, we never lose a game. I mean, that's kind of the respect that they have for him in that room. So I'd be floored if they didn't bring him back. Floored. I mean, and you know what? I look at this a lot like the Chris Jones thing last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Jones, for people who don't remember, he got tagged the second they could tag guys last year. They tagged him within like 30 minutes. And he went on the Colin Cowherd show and was, you know, open about the fact, yeah, you know, I'm kind of just playing a long-term deal yet. There was kind of talk about, well, what's going to happen. And then mid-July rolled around, and they had like 8 cents of cap space, and they signed him, Kelce, and Mahomes in a span of like a week. And I'm not surprised at all with Matthew. I think this is going to get done before camp, but I've always thought it would be, you know, mid-June to mid-July, somewhere in there. That's usually when these things get done. And, you know, they know what it's going to cost. They're not dumb. They know he's going to be right at the top of the highest paid safeties in the NFL. And it's just a matter of how do you want to structure it. You know, you go 3 years, you go 4 years, and you know, how much funny money's in there, how many incentives. These teams, I remember last year with Jones, I wrote a piece in February saying, look, he's going to get about 4 years and $80 million. I mean, you just have to simply look at the market and where these guys, I mean, and he ends up getting 4 and 80 with 5 incentives. I mean, it's not rocket science. I'm sure Brett Veach and Brant Tillis and all these guys, they know what they're going to have to pay Tyrann Mathieu. And mm-hmm. It just comes down to sitting down and hammering it out.
Yeah. Do you have a feel for what, because, I mean, I agree that they are going to know what the range is. Do you have a feel for what the range or even, like, length of years might be? Because that's the one thing with Matthew that's a little interesting, where he's older than Chris Jones was at this point last year.
Right.
And he's not ancient. I don't think he's falling off a cliff. But I do wonder, do you have any feel for number of years? And, like, legit number of years as opposed to the sort of shadow years that don't really actually count.
Look, I'd have to really sit down and look at it. But off the top of my head, I believe Matthew's 28, maybe he just turned 29.
I think he just turned 29.
Yeah, so, look, I think he's got this year left. I would expect the Chiefs, you know, to sit down. And, again, I'd have to look. I know Landon Collins' money is way out of whack with the rest of the safeties. He got something like $86 million. And, yeah, I remember it's funny, actually, when – they were both a free agent at the same time. And a lot of people thought Collins was going to go to Kansas City because it ties to Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up getting Matthew. But his contract's kind of an outlier. Like, I think Matthew's going to get a touch more like a Justin Simmons. You know, and I'd have to look at it. But what I think you're probably looking at something like 4 years extension, you know, 12 to 13 million a year. Something like, you know, 35 guaranteed. Again, I'm not sitting there looking at the table.
Sure.
I'd give you pretty much exactly what I think. But something in that ballpark. And I think the extension is probably going to be like, okay, this year, obviously, he's going to be there. The first 2 years of the extension, he'll definitely be there. It'll all be guaranteed money. And then, like, the third year would be a year where if they had to move on, they could. It would kind of sting a little. And then the fourth year is basically a team option. I mean, that's kind of how the Chiefs structure a lot of their big extensions. So, you know, again, I would just be floored. Here's another reason, by the way, and maybe the biggest reason. If he was the only big free agent that they had next year, they could theoretically just say, hey, look, we're just going to play it out.
Yeah.
We're going to tag him. And you can't do that.
No, not an option.
Orlando Brown.
Yep.
Like, and by the way, if you don't think Tyrann Mathieu, his representation knows that, you're insane.
Yeah.
Like, they have the leverage here because Kansas City – from my understanding, from what I've been told, they expect to play out this year with Orlando Brown. And Orlando Brown is fine with that. And I think it's kind of a, hey, you know, this is going to be your first full year left tackle in our system. Let's just see. Let's make sure everything's good. We're not in a huge rush. We're fine. We'll work it out. It's fair enough. But if you're going to do that, you can't go into the offseason with Tyrann Mathieu and Orlando Brown as a free agent. Because if either one of those guys hits the mark, like if Tyrann Mathieu's another first-team all-pro season, and gets the free agency, you, even if he loves Kansas City, you run the risk of some team that has just a gob of cap space coming in here and going, we'll give you $16 million a year. We don't care. So I think the Chiefs are, for a few reasons, and this is certainly among them, very motivated to sign Tyrann Mathieu to an extension and not play around with this and not end up having a situation where you're going, oh, my God, are we going to lose him to the Raiders because they have the need in the state? Like, I just can't. Brett Veach has always taken care of the stars on that team.
Yeah.
If you look at Brett Veach's history with the Chiefs, they go big game hunting. They believe in having a bunch of stars on the team and then figuring out the rest of the roster. It would be everything that he's not, or at least that Veach has shown to be. Like, it would be against every principle he has to not sign a star player when the Chiefs have kept all their star players over the years since he's been the general manager.
This is sort of interesting, and it's a little bit of a tangent, I guess, from that. But I was going to say, unless I'm forgetting someone, and then I guess you should probably think of the two guys that I should keep in mind here. So we haven't really seen Brett Veach have to make a ton of decisions about stars towards the end and what the strategy will be. Obviously, this year, the biggest story of their offseason, maybe at least pre-Orlando Brown, was the reason they needed to trade for Orlando Brown, was cutting Fisher and Schwartz. Obviously, those guys both had like significant injury issues coming into this year.
Right.
But I do think it'll be interesting to see, you know, what are they doing with Frank Clark this time next year, or a little less than this time next year, or what are they going to do whenever there's a guy they would potentially move on from? But I don't think that Anthony Hitchens, or frankly even maybe Schwartz or Fisher, quite hit that Tyrann Mathieu level, and frankly not a lot of those guys will. Mathieu, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, like that. I mean, it's a relatively small circle there, so it's not like we're going to get a huge sample size on that front.
It is. I'll disagree a little bit on one thing. Those tackles are going to be in their ring of fame.
That's probably, yeah. I think those, right.
I mean, yeah. You know, Hitchens, okay. Look, Hitchens is a notch below that.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher are having days at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I agree.
They have been, Fisher, you know, had a little bit of a longer career there, but Schwartz is just so integral to that team. I'd be shocked. But look, the point stands. You're right. I mean, Veach has never had a situation, truly, where a guy's been healthy and been a major contributor to this team, and what are we going to do?
Yeah,
I mean that's true. And I expect, look, over the years ahead with Kelce, I mean, obviously right now he's peaking his powers, mm-hmm. but there might come a time where he's 34, 35 years old. What do you do? I got to say, you know what? If the NFL's history says anything, the Chiefs will probably move on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, I'll tell you right now, you mentioned it. If Frank Clark doesn't play well this year, there's a good chance this is his last year in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So look at the cap. Yep. I mean, and that's not inside information. I mean, that's, nope. just, that's just common sense. I mean, look at – and, you know, they – from my understanding, I wrote about it inside the box, a tweet about it. I mean, they are pretty high in the draft class.
Yes.
Internally. They feel pretty good. So, you know, now that doesn't affect necessarily Frank Clark, but they're going to be afraid – to make some moves next year, is they have to try to fit Mathieu under, assuming they have an extension, and try to fit Brown. I mean, they're going to have to do some things, and that's part of greatness. Hmm. You have to be able to not only manage everything on the field, but manage everything on a cap sheet.
Well, I'm glad you took us over to the draft side of things, because that was something else I wanted to talk to you about tonight. You tweeted earlier, said, I'm told the Chiefs are very happy with the early returns of guard Trey Smith and tight end Noah Gray, especially Smith to this point. What is the degree of that in your mind? Is that maybe those guys are just on a very good track long term? They're going to be putting some pressure on some guys for playing time as rookies. What do you know there?
So, look, I reached out to a handful of teams over the weekend just to say, look, you know, we're at the end of the year, going to the mini camps. Give me some guys that your team is really excited about. And speaking of some sources just close to the Chiefs, I was told, hey, you know, look, these two guys have stood out. Hmm. You know, Noah Gray, he's really come in. He's played well. He's looked good. And, the person I spoke to was especially high on Trey Smith. Just said, look, this kid is going to be a really, really good player. And I we're talking day one. Mm-hmm. And my understanding was, look, Kyle Long has looked really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe day one, maybe not. I mean, if Long plays that well, he's a vet. He probably gets it. Not that part of it, just being my opinion. But the understanding was that Smith, it's a matter of time. I mean, he is. A lot of people thought he was the biggest steal out of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I would put it this way: I do not think he's done anything to dispel that here in the spring. So they feel like this kid is going to be a stud for them. And sooner rather than later. With Gray, obviously he's not challenging Travis Kelce.
Right.
You know, so but
You know, because you see, you know, the Chiefs have been looking for a second tight end forever. Our mutual friend Nate Taylor, I mean, he's been lighting candles in church for years now, trying to get a second tight end in Kansas City. So, you know, I think the ironic thing is, I remember, you know, just talking to people around the league, and you know, one source, you know, who had, you know, knowledge of some things around the teams, you know, the tight end class other than Pitts is just not good. Well, as it turns out, ends up taking a tight end. You know, Gray's really looked good to this point in OTAs. And so, you know, I think that's something where, you know, for the Chiefs, look, those are day three picks. I mean, if that ends up panning out, you have to be really happy. And I'll say this, I mean, who knows? You know, we got to see. You know, it's OTAs. Let's not lose sight of that either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of training camp, I always do the same thing. I reach out to a lot of teams, and I'll ask some sources of these. And, hey, you know, what do you see? Last year, and I wrote about it, but when I reached out to Kansas City, I was told, hey, Legarius Sneed is going to be really good. He's going to be really good now.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a track record of having a pretty good eye for what they're seeing on the field, and that was after a training camp. But we'll see. If Noah Gray turns out to be a good player and Trey Smith either comes in right away or comes in soon and he's holding down a guard spot opposite of Joe Tooney, that's a great development not only for the Chiefs but specifically for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Noah Gray, I think I said this right after the draft, and I've been saying it, and I still think this is true, where I think he might have the largest array of potential outcomes of any player of their draft class. Because if you say, hey, this guy who's kind of an H-back, kind of an undersized tight end, but kind of a super slot, he is either a force to be reckoned with, or he never really finds a role and is out of the league in two or three years. I would understand those outcomes, but you're making me optimistic about him finding a spot here, and also that this offense would use him well would not surprise me.
Yeah, the one thing that's funny with him, and to be clear, this part is completely my two cents, but I do find it interesting when you watch him. He's kind of built like Kelce. Like, he's not as big as Kelce, but he's more of that, like, athletic type. He's not, like, a big – he's not built like some of their other backup tight ends in the past. They've been bigger, block-first type guy. Like, he's kind of a guy who I wouldn't be shocked if he continues to impress. And he does this through camp. He does this through preseason. I wouldn't be totally shocked if they're just like, you know what? We're gonna split you out some.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing about Andy Reid, if he thinks you can play, he will put you on the field. I mean, people, I'm sure, remember Tyreek Hill's rookie year, first half of the year, he didn't play a ton, but they kept trying to, like, get him in on these gadget plays. And after a while, Andy was like, you know what? The hell with it. Like, we're putting you in the backfield.
Yeah.
We're putting you – I remember a game against Tennessee at home where Hill had, like, a 70-yard run for a touchdown. And it was, like, out of the backfield. He was, like, lined up as a running back. And it was just – they wanted him on the field. Now, if Noah Gray ends up turning into any kind of a weapon, they think he can be a problem. I mean, I could see them lining him up as a fullback, as a tight end who's in line, in the slot, out wide. I mean, they will – especially – if they feel like they need more depth at receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just see them being like, look, we'll play two tight ends all day long.
Yep.
Because what the hell? We don't care. Whoever is the biggest problem for you is who will play. So he's an interesting guy to watch. He really is. I mean, if he has a really good camp, he could be someone who maybe surprises for the Chiefs right away.
I don't say this as anyone as financial advice, but if there was a prop bet for first touchdown scored of the 2021 season or something, and you gave me some really good odds on Noah Gray and sort of a wonky play out of the slot or from that little H-back spot or something, I would be intrigued by that, because it seems like it could be such a, oh, come on, Andy, none of us prepared for that moment from the Browns in week one for Noah Gray to get three targets and they end up going for 60 yards and a touchdown. I don't think it would surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me at all, because it's Andy Reid. I could also – that also screams like week two Sunday Night Football against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Hey, let's run a pseudo reverse to Kelce and have him throw it to Noah Gray.
Yes.
let's just really – that's one thing with Kansas City. I always enjoy the first month of the year. All these plays that Reid has come up with over the spring and the summer, and you've never seen them. And they always have – so like a couple of years ago, it was all those screen plays that nobody had ever seen, and the Chiefs were just running them at will. And then you know, then last year you had that, like, that underhand, like, frisbee zip of a pass, like a shovel pass. And it was just, they always have some weird thing.
Always.
And they're so confident that there's never a time they won't do it. So it's always entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, all bets are, I want to see one time, just put Chris Jones under center.
Yes.
Once. He's been begging for it. Give the man his, like, do it in a game where you're winning by 30 points. We just put him in and say, look, Chris, none of this screen stuff. We're up there. Drop back, take a 7-step drop, and just let that mother go. Just whip it and see what I get it. The other team would probably want to fight them at midfield after that, but I would pay good money to see that happen. Just once. I mean, why not? Let's have fun.
I'm here to contribute to the GoFundMe. Thank you, Matt Greenbranch, for joining us tonight. Always wonderful to talk to you, including getting to the origins of your apparently perpetually mispronounced name.
It's a circus. Thank you.
So I don't know if that was about your last name about this show, but either way, very accurate. Matt Verderame of FanSided. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderame or at Matt Verderame or maybe at Matt Greenbranch. I feel like at the very least you ought to just get that Twitter username just in case he ever wants to do the little brand refreshing. Because Matt Greenbranch might end up being like his Screen Actors Guild name. You know, a lot of SAG actors have to change their name because there's already, there was already a Michael Fox. So Michael J. Fox throws that initial in there. Bada bing, bada boom. It's why Tucker is Tucker D. Franklin, except for it was that he wanted a better Twitter handle and Tucker Franklin was taken already. Matt, I think Matt should just keep Matt Greenbranch. Just keep it on the board. We'll take a break, and then whenever we come back, I don't know, we'll talk about something else here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beards, hashtag give Josh the meats.
Oh, boy.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I saw a tweet that our friend Tom Martin just retweeted, an old tweet from 2014 by John Boyce. He tweeted, why watch overtime playoff hockey when you can simply snort cocaine and ride a motorcycle out of a helicopter?
Sounds
Did you say a motorcycle?
Sure.
Did you mean to say motorcycle?
No, but I think a motorcycle is what's currently in the studio with you, making that noise.
There's nothing more.
Rudy's currently
like
watching playoff hockey.
On edge than playoff overtime hockey. Because it's one goal. Sudden death, it's chaos, it's fast pace, it's hard to watch if you're involved in it. Great to watch if you're not.
Because your Avs were up 2-0.
Yeah.
And it was 2-2.
Very quickly.
And now they're going to overtime.
Yeah.
Were both of those goals in the third period?
Yeah, start of the third period, in about a 4-minute span of each other, just two very poorly timed, just bad turnovers that just led to Golden Knights players just one-on-one with the goalkeeper and didn't work out so well for them. And then they just couldn't really get anything going offensive. It was a bad third period. So we'll see what happens.
Here's something that happened. Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole had a press conference today. I'm not going to tell you anything else. I think. Well, you know what I will tell you? Well, I'm going to give a little bit of context because the question the reporter I think uses the he uses the brand name of what is essentially a sticky tack sort of pine tar sort of thing that the pitchers across the league seem to be using at an increasingly high clip. There was an SI story about it a week or so ago, and honestly, whenever we talk about like pitchers being too good for hitters and hitting being impossible right now. If Major League Baseball cracked down on that a little bit, it might actually level up the playing field a little bit. And Gerrit Cole was asked a question that you'll hear in this audio, and he had a response.
And have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know. I don't know if. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean,
yes.
There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. And I, again, like I mentioned earlier, there's, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
This is an important conversation. I'm glad we're having it.
Woof! Well, can you play the very, very beginning there, Beard? The question here from the reporter, because I didn't even hear it very clear this first time, is have you ever used spider attack, I think, in a game, he says.
And have you ever used spider attack while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Okay, Beard, go ahead. Yeah. There is a full 10 count from question being asked to saying him saying, I'm not sure how to answer that question.
I mean, I'm not sure how to answer that question.
I mean, it's jet.
Hey, Josh, do me a favor real quick.
Yeah,
you be the reporter and you ask me that question. I'll be Garrett Cole in the scenario.
Okay.
Now, is this like what he should say? Like,
I don't know. We're going to see. It's up to Beers. Beers is an actor. Okay. He's an actor. Have you ever used spider attack?
No, how dare you suggest such a thing?
Well, we have video evidence of you.
Nah, I don't believe it.
In what regard?
I got it right here. I got some evidence.
5G,
of you.
Don't trust it.
Because the connection's not good?
It was Michael Pineda, I swear.
Because the connection's not good, or because...
That's a hell
because
of a pull by
it is
Beard.
A good pull. It's a good pull by Beard.
Wow.
I just always loved the Michael Pineda thing. It made me laugh.
Do you not trust the 5G because of
I never used the substance.
Because of the connection?
I never used it.
Or because that's what you think causes COVID?
Hey, media guy, come get him with you. Turn off his Zoom.
I'm on a Zoom. He can't mute
Turn
me.
Turn it off.
I'm unmuted myself.
I can't believe he asked me that question.
I love that there's a line drawn somewhere in there. So he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I've used spider tech, but I've never used the blood of a virgin to get better grip on the football, on the baseball.
Listen, man, it was the old folks in the league. They brought down some customs, and, you know, we're just sticking to them.
Hey, Beards, ask me if I've ever used... I'm a baseball player now.
Okay.
I'm Garrett Cole for all intents and purposes. Ask me if I've ever used... If I've ever shot steroids straight into my pitching arm.
So Garrett, have you ever... you ever used steroids in your pitching arm?
Well, I mean, if it's in... the way that I framed it sort of sounded like it would be a funny joke, but you say it that way. So just ask me if you can just ask if I...
Have you ever shot steroids into your pitching arm, Garrett Cole?
Well, it doesn't really matter where you would inject... Forget that I said straight into the pitching arm part.
Have you ever shot steroids into your arm, Garrett Cole?
No, I wouldn't be in my arm. It would be in my butt.
Yeah,
so, sorry, let's start from the... Hey, Beards, whatever
fatty,
way feels...
You want a fatty part of the body.
Whatever feels natural, Beards, ask me, Garrett Cole, if I've ever used steroids.
Hey, Garrett Cole, you ever used steroids? That sounds like a yes to me. I'm writing that down.
So
I'm tweeting that out.
You know, some
I'm
of the
passing.
some of the greatest baseball players of our time. You know, Barry Bonds was an incredible player, and he was a player in the sport of baseball. And you know what exactly did he do? You know, no one's really totally sure. And
are
obviously,
we living
there's
in a society, Garrett Cole.
We live in a society, and I'm not going to say that I'm going to attach. You know, there's clearly a line. Like, I wouldn't attach a baseball to a bottle rocket and then light it behind the mound and then throw
Garrett
that.
Cole, have you ever
at
attached
the...
a bottle rocket behind the mound and shot it off at an opposing player?
You know, I'm not going to say that I know everything that's ever happened in a dugout, you know, and I don't know that I've ever, you know, maybe there's even been a time or two, or maybe I've, you know, put on the wrong person's hat and it's just had some spider attack right there, and maybe I've used it, and maybe I've loved the way that it works on the baseball, and I love the way that it feels, and it makes me a better pitcher, and it makes me a more confident man, the spider attack. Maybe that's happened. It'd be really hard for me to say one way or the other, though.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
The answer is yes.
Beards, keep that audio clip right there really quick.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to point at you. I want you to play it again.
Okay.
So, you guys thinking about getting married soon?
I don't know if, I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
To be fair, shouldn't that have been Beards asking you that question?
I hope you're happy, Rudy. I wanted to just take a break on that. I was asking it generally to myself. Yeah. I don't know, Rudy. I didn't want to really break it all down. Hey, Rudy, do you have a good idea of how to end this segment?
Dang it, I hit the wrong button.
Mother bleeper, dude.
I hit Alt, and then it brought up the menu, and then
hey,
I couldn't.
Beards asked me if I'm enjoying how the segment ended.
I don't.
You didn't ask me, Beards. Beards, ask me if I'm enjoying. Beards, look at me. Look at me in the eyes. Turn off your microphone.
You should really do
Turn
the
off
hand
your microphone.
Up thing, because that's how I know when you're going to break.
Beards, I want you to ask me this question. Ask me if I am enjoying how the segment has gone. Ask, you have to ask that question to me with a question mark at the end of it, okay?
Yes.
Ask me the question.
Hey, Josh, are you enjoying how the
No!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The good news is whenever I hung my head in shame there, I did find the pen I was looking for. It had fallen into my lap. So that's a pretty big victory for all of us.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards, how quickly can you get that Brett Veach line that we were discussing during the break?
Quickly.
Don't play it right away. Here's what I want to lay out here, is that Beards said he told Rudy and I during the break. This show's better during the break than it is during the segments. He told us that he had to just grab a liner because he forgot about it until like 30 seconds left. And so I wanted Rudy and I to guess which one it was going to be. And we both thought it was going... You don't have to play the full liner, Beards, if you can just
isolate.
I've got it perfect.
Ready.
We both thought it was going to be the shortest liner we have, which is Brett Veach making kind of a burping sound. Beards, don't play it yet. Make the sound yourself. Play it.
Yeah, he has a nail.
Now, Veach, then you, Beards.
Buh.
Oh, that's not as good.
That wasn't as good.
Take another pass at it.
I'm losing it now.
You're drying out.
I'm losing it.
It's sort of a wet... Play it.
Why'd you play it twice?
I don't even remember. That was from a draft press conference a full year ago. I don't know. Hey! If you like this show, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Tell somebody else about it. Why don't you make that your homework for the day, and we'll do it again tomorrow night. Also, 8:30. I got baseball tonight at 7:30. Blame baseball. And then we're on from 8:30 to 11 tomorrow as well. Also, have a real treat for you on tomorrow's show, but if you want to know what it is, you're going to have to be there for that. Until then, bye, Mom!
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.